Bible reading for this morning is from Proverbs, or history. Proverbs, chapter 3, the verses are 5 and 6. Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. I shall repeat the verses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths.
Amen.
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 Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good to hear our little people. They did a real good job, as Brother Dunton said. They did a real good job. So here we are, the last day of the year. Wow, where does time go?
I was reflecting the other day on some times and memories of things that I remember from here. I remember 10 years ago sitting in Sister Sabina's house with Jane and Sabina and Janet and one or two others, and we were planning to start this ministry here. You know, we had no plans of being here, but here we are. I recall the first time I'd spoken to Sister Laverne. I was sitting on a boat on the Norfolk Broads with my father, and my phone went and I was having a conversation. I'd never met this lady before, but by the time that conversation was finished, I knew her. You know, amazing. I remember doing a gospel campaign in Sheffield, met Brother Emmanuel. We stood in the streets handing tracts out and inviting people to a gospel meeting, and I remember him saying something along the lines of, if you start a ministry in Leicester, I'll be there. And it kind of went over my head. I didn't think about it until he turned up. And sure enough, he was there. A lot of memories. I remember the first time I met Brother Gary. He was in a Bible class and he walked in. The following day, we went for a walk and we went down to Bradford Park together and we walked together, and it was wonderful. Just to meet our brother. And each and every person here, every single person in this congregation, I have memories with. This is my family. This is the body of Christ. We're a body. You know, when we become Christians, we are added by our Lord to this body. This is His body, the church. And we're united in the most incredible way. And I look back even at the last year and think, my goodness, you know, I can remember standing around this baptistry with some of the brothers. I think we had £14,000 in the bank account or something like that. And the brothers said, we need to buy this building. And then we prayed it over it. And sure enough, it came to be. Because we put our faith and trust in God. And listen, we are going to go through some tough times. We're going to go through some joyful times. We're going to have some struggles. We're going to have all kinds of battles and conflicts and things going on. But the most important thing is that we put God first. That we trust Him. And we understand this message here. That He says, I will be with you. I'll be with you. You see, God wants His people to understand that. You know, we're not walking this journey without Him. If we are, we're definitely on the wrong road. Definitely on the wrong road without any doubt. In Judges chapter 6, we read from verse 1 that the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And we see, and that the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because of the Midianites. The children of Israel made for themselves the dens, the caves, and the strongholds which are in the mountains. So it was, whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up, also Amalekites, and the people of the east would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza, and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor donkey, for they would not come up with their livestock and their tents come in a numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. And in verse 6 it says, so Israel was greatly impoverished, because the Midianites and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel, who said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptian and out of the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land. Also I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But you have not obeyed my voice. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash and Abizarite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Gideon said to him, oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all your miracles which our fathers told us all about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? So he said to him, O Lord my God, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. And you see, brethren, for 7 years a cruel enemy, the Midianites, oppressed the Israelites, causing many to flee to the mountains. Quite often when oppression comes, God's people run and hide. 7 years, this cruel enemy oppressed the Israelites and they fled to the mountains. Their life was upside down. They made hiding places for themselves in caves and dens. And the Midianites, he says, came like swarms of locusts. There were a lot of them. That was in verse 5. And when they attacked, they destroyed the crops and took away the flocks, and the Israelites were left with nothing to eat. And what did they do in their suffering? Where do we always go in our suffering? They cried out to God for help. They cried out to God for desperation of the situation that they were in. You know, we live in a world today of desperation. We live in a world today that through sin has found themselves against the way that God wants them to be. And through that, they find themselves alone in the world, trying to get through life, trying to establish themselves in the physical things that this world is offering, trying to find their safety and their sanctuary, like using these things like caves. And the enemy, the devil, keeps you there. And everything in your life, and so I always believe when things are going really bad, sometimes I think, you know, we need to wake up. There are times in our lives when things get to desperation, because what we do is we hold on to the wrong things. We are like those hiding in the caves. Now the Israelites were left with nothing. They were rock bottom. They were on the ground. Everything was taken. Their crops, their animals, their livestock stocks were gone. And it says in their suffering, which means they were suffering. It was a burden for them. All the sin going on in their past has caught up with them. And they find themselves in this situation, just like the prodigal son, who found his comforts in things that were not of God. And so through his wild living and reckless living, he found himself in a pig swan pen. He says, in their suffering, they cried out to God for help. Is God going to help? Yes. Yes. Wherever you are today in your life, if you cry out to God, he's going to help you. He's going to help you. Yes, God is gracious. These people were suffering because of their sin. Isn't it always our sin that creates all our problems in our lives? Isn't it always the sin that gets in the way? Those temptations that we can't let go of, those habits that just hang on to us. Our inability to be able to stop and examine our lives and say, what am I going to do? How am I going to change this situation? These things bring us to our knees. But God is gracious. And the people were suffering because of the sin against him. They worshipped idols, the gods of the Amorites, in verse 10 of the passage. In other words, their focus was taken away from the living God and directed to the things that they desired. And now when they reach rock bottom, they are crying out to him. And God, being the loving and merciful God that he is, will act. They're crying out to him. He is going to send a man called Gideon. Gideon is going to rescue God's people. An angel was sent to this man. He was threshing wheat in a wine press to hide the grain from the Midianites. That's what it talks about in verse 11. And chapter 6 and verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Imagine that. Do you realize that is what God is saying to you today? He's calling you a mighty warrior. Everyone living in fear, everybody hiding in caves, here is a man who is hiding wheat and hiding all the things that he has. And the Lord says, I am with you, mighty warrior. You know, sometimes we feel like we're not mighty. Sometimes we feel insufficient. We feel like we don't have a purpose. Everyone living in fear. But God doesn't see that. God sees something else. God says, you are a mighty warrior. And there is something special there. Gideon himself, he felt very small. What did he say in verse 15? How can I save Israel? How can I bring my family to Christ? How can I stand up in my workplace for God? How can I stand in my community and say, I am a believer. I believe in the living God. How can I face oppression when I'm trying to deal with things and the world is against me? How can I do all that? How can I stand up against these sins and these things that stand in my way? Gideon says, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest. The weakest in Manasseh. You know, sometimes we look at our numbers, don't we? We look at ourselves. This small congregation in the middle of a city of 500,000 people. How God can we save the people in this city? Because that is the mission he's given us. God has given us a mission. Our mission is to save 500,000 people in this city. That's where he's placed us. And we say, how can I save? We are the weakest. We are only small. I'm only a small group. I'm the least in my family. Why did the Lord call him mighty warrior? What strength does he have? Is Gideon really strong and courageous? No, he's not. Just like you and me. We're not strong. And we're not courageous. And neither is Gideon. In fact, he has a hard time believing what God has said. And sometimes we feel the same. He kept asking for a sign to prove that it is true. Then why was he considered mighty by God? You see, God knew Gideon would be successful. Just like God knows you will be successful, we will be successful. God knew that Gideon would accomplish his plan. Not because Gideon is strong by himself, but God will help him succeed because he says, I will be with you. And we try and look at ourselves and feel as though we're insufficient, we're not enough. How do we accomplish the things that we need to accomplish? But we don't accomplish them by ourselves. We accomplish the things for God when we allow God to work through us. You see, God didn't need Gideon's might. God needed Gideon's trust and faith in him. God will help him succeed. God can do great things through us, brethren. Judges 6:1, as we read through there, the Lord is with you. Chapter 6, verse 16, the Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down the Midianites together. And then what does he say is one man? Brethren, we're a body. We're one body of many gifts, many talents, many abilities. But if we have this mindset that I'm not able, I'm not mighty enough, then we misunderstand what God can do through your life. God can do incredible things. Chapter 6, verse 34, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. And we read then in chapter 7 that Gideon went to fight the Midianites. At first he had 32,000 men. They were with him. And Judges 7, verse 2, the Lord said to Gideon, you have too many men. Too many men for me to deliver Midian into their hands. In order that Israel may not boast against me that our own strength has saved her, God asks him to reduce his number. Imagine that. Here we are. We've got this whole city. And God comes along and says, okay, there's 40 of you, 45 of you. What I want you to do is I want to take just 22 of you and I want you to go and convert this city. And we're thinking, well, hang on a minute, we're going to struggle with 40. God asks him to reduce the numbers to 300 men against this army, the Amalekites, and all the other eastern peoples had settled in the valley, and it says they were thick as locusts. In other words, it was a plague of warriors and soldiers. Their camels could no more be counted than the sand on the seashore. And God says, 300 men, Gideon, is what you will take. 300 against the swarm of locusts. And they won. Because God fought the battle through them. And so in our lives, anything is possible. If we don't believe that, then we don't believe this. Anything is possible. This sermon explores the divine possibilities in our lives when we open ourselves to God's call. You see, as a church, we have work to do. We have work to do. We have to unite. We need unity. We need no division. We can't be divided. We have to be united. And God sees a mighty warrior in you. And God sees things that he will achieve through you. And together as a church, we will achieve so much. You see, God sees each one of us as tools that he can use for his kingdom. Gideon sees himself the smallest one in the weakest clan. And God says, no, you will accomplish great things. God says you will defeat them as one man. And Gideon says, how can I save Israel? Brethren, do not limit yourself. Do everything through him who gives you strength. The strength for this journey that we are on is drawn from God. you see, our God will be with you. Everything that you face, every situation, I feel strongly about that. Every situation I face in my life, I take God with me. He's with me. Do you know how God sees you today? How do you see yourself? Because if you see yourself as a weak warrior, then you're forgetting something. God is a mighty warrior and he works through you. Are we like Gideon living a defeat before the battle, with fears, forgetting God, without the courage to face the problems that we have to face? Do we see ourselves very small and very weak? Gideon felt that way because his eyes were on himself. That is the problem. If you feel like that, take your eyes away from yourself and start looking to God. You see, the Lord's answer to Gideon was, it's not about you. It's about me. This city is not about us. This ministry is not about us. It's about God. He says, I will be with you, church. The question is how strong you are, but how strong I am is the biggest question. Are we going to be an army for our God in his kingdom here in this city? Are we going to help each other stay on the path? It's one thing bringing people to Christ, it's the other thing keeping people safe from harm's way. Are we going to watch each other and call out to each other when we tumble and when we fall? Are we going to be the ones to keep the word in our minds and in our hearts? The truth be spoken all the time. Maintaining the teaching, preaching the word, and putting God first. How can I save this city? We are the weakest. I am the least. No. I will be with you. You will succeed together as one man, as one church. And so my prayer for the new year ahead, if God wills us tomorrow, we don't even know if we're going to make tomorrow. But my prayer is for this church to be united, to be strong, to stand firm in our faith, and to hold to the truth, hold to the fundamentals, not allow anything to come in here that doesn't belong or hasn't come from this holy word. And so no more stepping back, but let us step forward. Let us put God in front of us. Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us if God is for us? Philippians 4:13, Paul says, I do everything through him who gives me strength. What more do you need? If God is all you have enough. Even if you have no food, no money, or nowhere to live, if you have God, you have enough. Hold on to his words, to what he has promised us. Our reading this morning, which we're going to end with, Proverbs 3:5 through 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Let's have an invitation. Should we stand?